Yep.
So we need to invite our guests in.
We will be here another hour and a half, starting with a discussion in a couple of minutes with Adam Amador about racism in our area and race relations, as it were.
Views and opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTAL Radio or any of its officials.
This is the Wolfman Max. You're listening to KTAL LP 101.5 FM.
Do you have some special expertise that you can share with your fellow Las Cruces? Do you have a love of a particular type of music that you're not hearing on any area radio station? Or are you just curious about a lot of subjects and like to have conversations with a diverse group of people? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you just might make a great KTAL host. Think it over and check out lccommunityradio.org/host for details on how to submit your idea.
Music they don't want you to hear. The Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. Texas banned it after 6 weeks. It is blocked at the Arizona border. Oklahoma deemed it part of the new Red Scare. And yet, it persists. Join the resistance. The resistance to hate. The resistance to fear. Come listen to music they don't want you to hear. Every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. with a rebroadcast Wednesdays at 10 on Radio KTAL. KTAL-LP 101.5 FM, Las Cruces.
The Make Music Day event will be held on Sunday, June 21st, from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. at Young Park with performances by saxophonist Tia Fuller. Young Park is located at 850 South Walnut Street. For event details, the website is lascruces.gov/Juneteenth.
Check out Listen Here. That's Here, spelled H-E-A-R, hosted by...
And we're back, we being Walt Rubel and Peter Goodman. I think I'm Peter Goodman. And Adam Amador, who basically texted us or emailed in response to something about the show that he wanted to come on and talk about race and relations in this area. But obviously, obvious topic, I hadn't realized, but you were there, yeah. Right?
So we're there. You know, I gave public comment, and it's interesting to hear the arguments on both sides. Some things are inevitable. And I, as a history teacher, I always showed my students the picture with everybody had a newspaper on the subway in New York, right? And the world's over. But right. It was inevitable. And then, you know, when CDs took out cassettes, and then the digital media took out CDs, right? So I'm there thinking as someone who wants economic development and progress for the community, mm-hmm. right? How do we fashion this while at the same time knowing we have no water in New Mexico? Or we mm-hmm. do, but it belongs to Texas. So I went, you know, a couple of times to the county commission office, and people want accountability and transparency. But who's holding the accountability and transparency, right? Who's talking about this? And then who does it affect the most? So if you go to, you've been there, Peter, you've been at the meetings, and are there people from the Sunland Park, Santa Teresa area being represented? We don't know. We don't know where they're from. But we did hear the gentleman, Jose, speak, who was a former employee from Project Jupiter. And he brought up an interesting point, which was it's all these white people from Las Cruces that are going down and protesting. And then I said, well, you know, I'm there thinking because I already had a statement prepared. And mine was basically, look, this is inevitable. Right. We all have cell phones. We're going to log this on digital media somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's going to go somewhere. But who's it going to affect? Right. Who's it going to impact? Should we have a county commission meeting in Santa Teresa? Yes.
Sure.
We should have. Mm-hmm. Right. They should have had a meeting in Sunland Park. They have the facilities in Chaparral. They have the facilities to do that. But why don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And who's making the decisions behind the doors? Right. Why were these NDAs here? Who does it affect? Yep. Well, we know the colonias, right? It's going to affect the people in the colonias, the poor Mexican people who are doing all the working and living mm-hmm. and dying down there. But who's it benefiting?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's somebody's making money.
Let me throw in that
yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was, as soon as he spoke, and now, as I told you,
sure.
I've invited him on the show, the individual who had worked with them and was saying that, you know, it's all these out-of-state white people. There was a woman who got up and said, yeah, I was born. And I've seen at other meetings,
sure,
there have been a few people who said very movingly, right, yeah, I grew up there, and I want to be able to live there and breathe there.
Right.
So he's not entirely correct, but it's still a reasonable issue. And part of it is it's a continuing issue between trying to preserve our world, which is in much more danger climactically, sure, than Donald Trump would like to have us realize, but also feed people or enable people who want to do a job of work to feed their kids. But I think the real issue here is not, is it happening or not? Should it happen or
right,
not?
Right.
As I admitted, you may or may not have heard me in the last segment, you know, I use AI mm-hmm. for things. And I think about, okay, that's like leaving the light bulb
right.
on. You know, it's using a little extra energy. But this was rushed through.
Absolutely.
I would, you know, if somebody came in and said, I think the county commissioners were on the take, I would say, I don't think so. But I sure wouldn't say, oh, no, even though these are people I supported.
Right.
And by and large tend to agree with them and like them. You know, Nathan Small got 20,000 that we know about. I know that I know from somebody political that they offered that person a bunch of money mm-hmm. for a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the person said, well, the laws don't allow that much. And they said, you know, we got lots of friends.
Yeah. We'll so, figure it out.
yeah.
Which
so
is
are
difficult.
These people's... Hmm?
Which is typical. That happens yeah. all the time. Yeah.
And this is my thing, I think, on this accountability end. You guys have this fantastic privilege of calling people out on the air, right?
Right.
And I think in the newspaper, and I think you have to do that equally. We know, you know that why would you have to sign an NDA if everything was kosher, right?
Right.
Why would you have to do X, Y, and Z?
The answer to that question is if you're dealing with trade secrets
right,
or
right.
You know, to keep stuff from your competitors. I mean, there is a legitimate
sure.
reason for NDAs.
But they're stretching it beyond that.
I think this one went a little bit farther. And so my thing is who's the voice for the community at that point,
right?
Right? Who's the voice representing the people in Sunland Park, Santa mm-hmm. Teresa, right?
We have a caller who would like to join in on this conversation.
So... That means
put on a
headphone, and if you can't hear it, turn it up there. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Jump in.
What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, one of the things is I've been paying attention to these meetings and watching the same folks come up, and I think they're doing a great job of raising awareness. But, you know, I reach out to folks and work in Sunland Park and OPTA. And I would really like to see something where maybe these same folks go into the city council meeting at Sunland Park, maybe Crewer, maybe start working with some of the folks down there in that area to bring the meetings and the experts like they're trying to do. But I don't think we need to demand it from the county. I think we need to do it as citizens, you know, and move the county commissioners and elected officials to that meeting. I mean, last night we watched the news with Meta and we saw how much time they spent, but there was no news press over here. And I think that's what's lacking in our community is the need for newspapers. So
oh, yeah.
The communities like ours can be able to speak with journalists and talk about the issues in our communities and our colonias and these places where the growth is taking place and how it's impacting us. And then hold these county officials accountable. I found it very disrespectful yesterday with some of those folks at that county commission meeting and the way they were acting and speaking to our elected officials. I understand their passion, but it's up to us to move them to our meetings. And if they don't want to come, then we just move up the scale with representatives, senators, and, you know, congressmen. But I think this project is moving forward. It's got the blessing of the state. But I think that we're seeing some movement that, hey, who knows? I think with a lot of voices and organizing and the communities that's impacting with those people. And I think it might be a little bit different. But that's just my suggestion.
Okay. Okay. I think, by the way, there still is a possibility the state environmental department will not approve this, but I don't know for sure. If they're controlled by the governor, they won't.
Anyway, we'll see with this election. I think the District 1 race is going to be interesting. Both those candidates are opposing, you know, Project Jupiter. I think that's going to be interesting for the community, and I look forward to those forums. But also, we're looking at a new governor. So, I mean, our vote does matter.
Well, thanks for calling.
We'll be registering voters in these meetings also. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. I think I recognize your voice. If I do, give me a call offline, and let's have coffee and talk about how we can make some of this better. And if you're not who I thought you were, don't.
No, and he, you know, he's got a good point. And so this is where I'm at. I think when we're looking at this from scholarship, legal scholarship, you always bring in that critical race, right? How are we looking at things and who's benefiting? And critical race, a key component of critical race theory is interest convergence. And he brought up a good point. How come people from down here aren't being heard? Well, they're predominantly Spanish-speaking, right? Strike one, right? Yeah. Telemundo, it's got to be interesting for Telemundo to go. It's got to be interesting for someone from here to go. So if there's not interest convergence, if we really don't care about the people, we're going to go take care of the colonias. There's over 20-some colonias surrounding Las Cruces right now. Since they've been designated since the 70s or 80s, they're still here. Right. So if we're really about being progressive in Las Cruces, those should not exist at this point.
I know, obviously, but you know, I've been here off and on 50 years and more. But some listeners will not know what a colonia is and why that's important.
So colonias are the designations out in Las Cruces is actually a rural community because we have agriculture like right here. Right. And the colonias are those single wide trailers you guys see out. Radium Springs, out on Highway 70, south of Las Cruces. This is where people live. This is where people live without electricity, without running water. And having taught out on the Highway 70 out there, and then having taught in Anthony, when you know it gets cold, kids come in smelling like tires, and so they're burning tires. They're coming in shorts. I thought it was a fad when I got hired here, 12 years ago. Kids were wearing blankets, and I'm like, is this a new thing? And it wasn't. It's because they're freezing. They don't have access to whatever, high-quality food, you name it. And so the definition of that fits the definition of a colonia, right? And I took one of the dean candidates for the College of Ed. I was on his hiring committee. He says, Adam, show me where our students are from. So I was like, we haven't even interviewed you. That's a fantastic question. So I said, look.
Yes.
I said, Don, go change, go buy some jeans and a white t-shirt, and I'm going to give you a hat. And I had a BMW at the time. I said, well, I'm going to come pick you up in a 1982 S10, you know, standard, and we're going to go out here. And he was just blown away. He goes, you know, inner city poverty is one thing. This is survival.
Yeah.
And we broke down these race things, and I said, look, is it because they don't have a voice? Are we not providing them agency? They're here. They have power. They just don't know that yet. Right. So how do we educate them? Do we spend time educating them? Do we take the Roadrunner Food Bank out there, which we did? We put it at Mesa Middle School. And so I think a lot of what I saw is these people protesting. Are they willing to go out and help the community? There's a food drive. Roadrunner's doing a food drive. Will I see these people out here supporting? I was in Sunland Park with Roadrunner Food Bank last Saturday. 513 vehicles, over 115,000 115,000 pounds of food that was delivered, right? And who's speaking for those people? Because they were right in the middle of what's going on, right? These are the people that are working and living and dying down there that are either going to benefit from this or they're absolutely never going to see any of this. So us as community advocates, how are we advocating for them, right? But then how are we holding our elected officials responsible? So my ask was, I talked about the environment. I talked about clean water down there. I talked about wastewater management. Those colonias and those people are not hooked up to the county line.
Right.
My ask from Project Jupiter and everybody else was, fix that infrastructure for them if you're really invested in the community, right? So let's have that talk. If you're really invested in the community, why did they give the question that I've been asked, why did they give $1.5 million to the Boys and Girls Club here? Those kids aren't down there.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I said, well, why don't you just build a facility for them and have a Boys and Girls Club down there?
Here's my question, though. It seems like you're indicting people who have what I would consider a legitimate concern about AI, about air and water, and don't share the same concern about people living in the colonias. Are they wrong to speak out about those things that they are concerned about because they don't speak out about the other things that you wish they would?
No, I think that you can do both, or you should
absolutely
do both.
Should.
Right?
I'm not saying you shouldn't, yeah. But I...
And my thing was, when I presented yesterday, I covered like three... I braided everything together.
Right.
We can't have AI without addressing the community. And we can't have AI without addressing the community without investing, right? So you can't have these. You have to do all of them. And yes, I'm equally as concerned about AI, but I'm also concerned about the humanity. I'm humanizing this.
Well,
concern,
I understand,
right?
That. I understand
and
your point.
And so I wouldn't say I'm indicting. It always, to me, having been on boards, you know, for a cafe and looking at all these things and how we function in the community, and I'm looking at the community return on investment, right? We can go protest. It gives us something to do. We can be. It's like being in a rocking chair, but do we get anything done, right? And protesting, you can protest all you want. The right to peacefully assemble, protest the government. But I think when they were personalizing it yesterday. And for me, I'm kind of like, well, we're off topic now, right?
You mean against the commissioners?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it gets out of hand. And for me, I'm like, let's stay on point.
Yeah.
But we have to look at everything on both sides. In psychology, you know, there's the blind side, right? There's always the blind side. We're not looking at the blind side right now. We're so hell-bent on going this way that we're not looking to see what's going on back here. Who is this really affecting? The gentleman made a good point yesterday. Maybe one person there protesting was from Santa Teresa, but the others weren't. Mm-hmm. So my thing was, what are you mad at? How do we move forward? They're already digging dirt out there. They're moving it.
Right.
It's inevitable. So how are we going to move forward with this?
Like Peter said, I don't know if I'd say it's inevitable.
I think part of the answer is this is going to put as much in the way of greenhouse gases as, you know, maybe double, but way more than Las Cruces plus Albuquerque do right now.
Right.
So wherever I live, if I live in, you know, Illinois, I got a right to be concerned about that. Now, you and I and our county commissioners ought to be balancing that concern against how this is going to help and harm the local people. But having a concern is pretty legitimate, you know, if you live in the Ukraine.
Right. And this is my thing. I was a principal on the eastern part of the state at Carlsbad High, and oil and gas was getting the Hispanic community out of poverty. I was the highest paid principal, but I had students that were making more than I was. And I'm like, well, if our goal is for prosperity and education, how can I say this is something wrong when they're doing just as well as anybody else? Right. I mean, that is the problem of our time. Right. It's the parlance of our time. Right. Are we going to pick economic prosperity over the environment? We do all the time.
I was going to say the answer is apparently yes.
The answer is yes. Right. Yeah. And you know, I actually got with some of the companies there, and I was like, I need these kids to graduate high school.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they're driving $100,000 trucks, and some of them, Mister, I make more than you do. That's congratulations, I said, but your quality of life, my man, you know, you're going to die 20 years before I do. And I was trying to get them to understand what was going on.
It's
and
a hard said, life on the rigs.
Can you do both? Can we, how are, like, I'm always, you know, I have a little bit of a background in horticulture and agronomy, and I'm always wondering, can we plant more trees? Can we plant more vegetation that's sustainable, that's going to help? What about hemp, right? And hemp, we know, cleans, it can clean out anything, just like those oysters can, right? Why are we not using what we already know works? And those are bigger things, right? We have kept this community that it does not have digital literacy undereducated on these things. They don't have digital. What's AI? Like, all right, whatever, right? And they're going to blow it off because they need to eat. So having been down there last Saturday, I'm like, these people probably have no clue what's going on, because their number one concern is food. It's the scarcity,
sure.
Right?
Let me say this. For folks listening, this is KTALLP, specifically Speak Up Las Cruces show, and Walt Rubel and I are talking this hour or this half hour with Adam Amador. Let me ask you, back up and ask a question,
sure,
about, now I don't use the word race, although I do use the word racism.
Sure.
But, you know, on the one hand, I'm old enough that I can remember where I did grow up, that the school would, if there were a black guy and a white girl going out, the administration of school would call the white girl's parents. They didn't call the black guy's parents, but they called the white girl's parents and said, do you know about this? And I've read a book. I don't know if you know Rudy Apodaca.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a couple of books, novels set here, and of course was very eminent citizen when he was here. But if you look at his novels, growing in the 50s, and he's a little older than I am, he was Hispanic, and he'd go out with a non-Hispanic girl, and the father would come to the door when he came back and said, don't want to see you here again.
Mm-hmm.
We're past that. On the other hand, racism is not gone, as Donald Trump would have us believe. So from your vantage point working with kids, where are we on the spectrum from the past,
sure,
which was worse than what Rudy and I saw, but earlier, to nobody giving a damn,
right,
who anybody is ethnically?
I'll give you some context. So I grew up in the mining district. My
right,
parents were Hurley, New Mexico, Baird, New Mexico.
Yep.
And when they would strike, the company would shut off the power, yep, on the Mexican side. So my dad got back from Vietnam. And so you want to talk about, have this talk. So Grant County per capita had the highest rate of veterans in the country. Not you, in the country, right? Everybody that I knew was a Vietnam vet. It was unreal. Yeah. And they all got drafted,
yeah,
right? Not, they didn't enlist. They were all drafted. Yeah. And my dad was like, the first time I had pizza was in Fort Ord, California, right? Crazy. So with that being said, you know, he comes back, he's at the mine, and he goes, OSHA and MSHA, he goes, the Mexican side and the American side. So they would shut off the Mexican side and shut their power off. So and growing up like that, you know, blue collar union, we saw a lot of that. When I graduated high school, the last day, we did the pledge in English and Spanish every day. One of our teachers came out, told us we were disgusting pigs for speaking Spanish. This is in 2000. So it's alive and well. It just got cleaner, right?
Mm.
You don't get access to the bank. You don't get access to capital. You can't get an attorney. And I'll give this story. I was going through a divorce, and one of the judges here in the judicial district said, how dare you not come without counsel? And I said, so you're going to discriminate against me because I don't have counsel? This is the people's court. And right as soon as I said that, the two bailiffs were behind me ready to arrest me, right? Be that as it may, it's racism without racists. The institutional systems are there. The systemic systems are there. We have one of the largest school districts in the state. We have a Latino superintendent, and kids still can't read.
Right.
So the institutional and systemic barriers are built in. So it doesn't matter. He can come in with his stuff, but if people aren't going to institute it, the school board doesn't represent the community, right? Research on our end says you should have people that look like you representing you. Let's go to the county. Let's go to the city. Those things don't happen. So it's institutionalized. It's burnt in. I think our community, we're always, what do we call it? There's a term for it, and it comes from a Supreme Court case in the 1800s that this Mexican guy was arrested in Texas, and he didn't fit the Native American definition or the black. Mm-hmm. So they made him an honorary white because there was no definition for him.
Well,
and that's basically what it is.
Let me ask you about something you said. I mean, you go to a county, and at least ethnically, Hispanics are certainly represented on,
sure,
the council, are a majority of the council. What do we do to change things?
I think we've got to hear from the people, and the actual people. Like, people are asking, let's go down to Santa Teresa. I believe we should have a county commission meeting
in Santa
Teresa. We should.
Yep.
And do a work session there so you can have the 8-hour setup and you can hear from everybody, right? And give them the, not a voice, agency, We're mm-hmm. here. You're our constituents. Because how is it that a commissioner from this part of the county has power over this part mm-hmm. of the county that they're not elected to represent? That's my that's an institutional barrier for people, right? He gets to decide what's on the agenda, what happens, and those things. Those are always my concerns, you know, on that. It's built in.
Yeah, One other question I want to ask you, because you got this great view of kids, principal of a high school. Among the kids, I mean, I know there are a lot of issues mm-hmm. about gay and not
everything,
gay and
everything,
whole bunch of issues. How much is there still, you know, I mean, I'd like to have you say we've reached a time when, all the kids hang out together with no reference to what their ethnicity is, but I'll bet we ain't quite there yet.
We're not, because I think it's institutionalized, mm-hmm. right? Well, I'm this, I'm that. And I'll tell you, so we have what's called Latinos in Action, and it's all over the country and in the state. And my presidents were young white ladies. Mm. They understood their place in the community. And as they're interviewed by the director in Florida or the director in California, they're saying, look, I understand the importance of me being here, me having been elected by my peers, right? And like I said, you may not have to. We all work in different ways, right? As Hispanics, we work in a different way. Sunday's a really valuable time for us. We don't, you know, it's a different culture. Being a Democrat and Catholic is the most mind-boggling, challenging thing to be, right? It really is. But when we look at...
Less so recently.
Right, when we look at social justice without metrics and results is social just us, right? Mm. And that's what I try to tell the kids. You're not going to like everybody. There's personality mm-hmm. things. There's kids coming in with socioeconomic stuff, mental health issues that just won't allow them to, I guess, grow. And so we have to clear the space. It has to be a trigger-free space, right? But we want them to be civil, and we want them to engage in scholarly activism. I don't want them out there protesting. I want them to write poetry and do art that can speak to people. So when you walk through the hallway at the school, you're looking like, who did this? I said, this is a sophomore. Mm-hmm. This young lady did this piece. I don't want them out there screaming and yelling. I want them to be scholarly activists, right? And I think that's the best thing we can provide for them, right? Be culturally appropriate. Know the room. Don't speak out of place, right? And understand that this institution still has racism without racist because of how it's designed. And when we can get, we're getting them there, right? So I think that's the best answer I can give you. Like we're trying to get along civilly, but personalities sometimes don't allow for that.
Mm-hmm. We have a minute.
We do have a minute.
Question.
Lastly, you're just kind of wrapping this all up. What I've been thinking through this whole thing is how, and there's not enough time, but how do you separate all of these issues with race and culture from wealth and poverty? Because it seems like a lot of what you're talking about is poverty.
So it becomes classism.
Yeah.
Right. And we have to look at that, and then that's for another discussion, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd love to come back on and have that talk and kind of keep growing in the conversation, because just to make people aware, right?
We'll have you back.
That'll work.
Want to thank everybody for listening. This is Peter Goodman, co-hosting with Walt Rubel on Speak Up Las Cruces. Our guest this half hour has been Adam Amador, principal of Alma de Arte School.
Thank you.
We'll talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
We will take a short break, and then we're going to be back interviewing Mike O'Leary and Brian Cox, who co-host a show 24 hours from now, basically, 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
Every Thursday, a local sports show.
Rebroadcast Friday morning.
Yep. What time? 10? I know.
10
I always
Friday
hear.
Morning. That's right.
At any rate, it's a wonderful local sports show, and they're wonderful guys. So we'll be talking with them, and then with the director and a cast member from a new play at the Black Box. So we will be right back.
Fantastic.
This is Cecilia L. Vargas of Vargas Art Projects. You are listening to KTALLP 101.5 Las Cruces.
Do you have a smart speaker? Then you can listen to KTEL anytime you want. Just say the trigger phrase, the name or words that get the speaker's attention, and then say play KTALLP.
Got it. Playing KTALLP on TuneIn.
That doesn't work. Try play KTALLP from TuneIn.
Looking for your Tejano fix? Find it Saturday mornings with Onda Tejana from 10 to noon on KTAL 101.5.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You can hear our award-winning morning news hour weekdays live at 6 and again at 4 p.m. here on KTAL Radio. Our independent news hour offers diverse perspectives and unique opinions, unheard in the mainstream media, live as the news unfolds. Tune into Democracy Now! The Quarantine Report, weekday mornings live at 6 on KTALLP 101.5 FM, Las Cruces.
Do you have some special expertise that you can share with your fellow Las Cruces? Do you have a love of a particular type of music that you're not hearing on any area radio station? Or are you just curious about a lot of subjects and like to have conversations with a diverse group of people? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you just might make a great KTAL host. Think it over and check out lccommunityradio.org/host for details.